parts. Part one is about the old. Sorrow marks the old order of things. Part two will be about the new. Jesus creates new joy within us. Part three, our hope. The Spirit renews our hope of the new creation. But first, the old. 5 centuries before Jesus Christ, Isaiah the prophet proclaimed the word of the Lord. Isaiah dared to dream of a better day. God called the prophet to courageously communicate a vision of the new creation to his people. And do you know what? The people really needed to hear it. They were downtrodden and discouraged, desperately needing to receive a positive word and a little bit of encouragement. Why? It had to do with the situation on the ground. When they looked down at their feet, they saw nothing but rubble and ruins. Jerusalem's temple was destroyed, the city walls torn down, and their homes in desperate need of repair. But rebuilding took plenty of resources, time, money, energy. And this was not a time of plenty, but a time that lacked the necessary resources. Jack Lundbom describes their difficulty. Isaiah paints a realistic picture of restored life in Jerusalem after 538 BC, when the first wave of exiles returning from captivity in Babylon faced the monumental task of rebuilding a ruined city, a ruined temple, and a ruined Judah. The house of the Lord, the temple, had not been rebuilt, and the people of God were poor and brokenhearted, longing to see the renewal of Mount Zion. While Isaiah prophesied poetically of God creating the new heavens and the new earth, the people were bogged down by the former things, that is, the old order of discouragement, despair, and death. It was a time marked by sadness. Their situation was saturated with sorrow. Picture a mother. Picture a mother bowing low to mourn the loss of a child. The desert sand is dry, and her soul within her is parched. Her tears drop to the ground, the only irrigation the soil will ever see. It's entirely heartbreaking to see her collapse that way, overwhelmed by grief. So Isaiah speaks of a replacement of the former things with a brand new thing. There will be a day. There will be a day when God will rejoice over Jerusalem, and the sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in the city no more. Never again will there be an infant who lives but a few days, or even an old man who does not live out his years. Unexpected and untimely deaths of children and adults who failed to reach their life expectancy were creating a crisis. Life was being choked out by death, leaving the dejected residents of the holy city up to their ears in defeat and discouragement. Imagination is not needed by some here present to understand their feelings. Some of you in the pews may have experienced this type of loss personally, or you may know someone else who has, someone who has outlived a son or a daughter. What grief! It certainly could be a time of indescribable loss. It brings to mind an 8-year-old girl in my parents' faith community over in Wayne County. When my parents and my Aunt Kathy drove over here with my cousin Linda for Rose's commissioning service, they received a phone call from their home church about an untimely passing of a little girl. They heard the sad news. Miriam Robbins, age 8, of Port Gibson, New York, went home to be with the Lord on Sunday, October 26. Miriam was the daughter of Reed and Lauren Robbins. Now, Reed was the head of school at East Palmyra Christian School, and the couple had 3 other children, but I'm sure their grief for Miriam was intense. The obituary reveals that Miriam was a joyful, witty, thoughtful child who lived and died for Jesus Christ. She gave thanks to God every day for her family, East Palmyra Christian School, and also the church community. What a tragic loss for her family and her friends. It was so sad that she died. Her cause of death was cerebral edema, complications of type 1 diabetes. But this is the cool part of the story. In a spirit of generosity, they kept her alive for 3 days so that her internal organs could be harvested to bring renewed life to others. Isn't that beautiful? Life from death. Again, picture a mother bowing low to mourn the loss of a child. But this time it's Lauren. Lauren Robbins, at the graveside of her beautiful little girl. Miriam, it was much too soon to say goodbye. Now, Lauren and other moms in America aren't the only ones bowing low at graveside to bury children. Countries in the Caribbean also experienced this sorrowful crisis. For example, Haiti. In Haiti, the infant mortality rate is projected to be 46 deaths for every 1,000 live births. This sad statistic reveals a rate that is 10 times higher than in our country. This rate remains among the highest in the Western Hemisphere, with far too many dying in childbirth, and also the precious babies that pass away in the first month of their life. Causes often stem from poverty, a lack of healthcare infrastructure, and inadequate access to healthcare services, with many births occurring at home without a doctor or nurse. You know, knowing about this breaks our heart, but what can we do about it? And what are we willing to do about it? Without a doubt, we need God's help, don't we? Impatiently, we wait for Christ's return so that the sound of weeping and of crying will be heard no more. We long for a day when sorrow will be no more. And so did the prophet Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah wanted that day of no mores. He dreamed of a day when sorrow would fade to everlasting joy. So he speaks confidently of God bringing new life, new heaven, new earth, new creation. And this prophecy at the end of the book of Isaiah is fulfilled in two layers. There's an earlier fulfillment and a later fulfillment. The first layer of fulfillment of prophecy is Christ's first coming, 500 years after Isaiah. The second and final layer of prophecy won't be realized until Christ returns for his second coming to make all things new. As we profess confidently once a month during the communion prayer, together we proclaim the mystery of the faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. And when we say that, we're talking about the past, the present, the future. The past, Christ has died. The present, Christ is living within us. He gives us new life. And the future, Christ will return someday. When I think about Isaiah, I consider the meaning of his name. Isaiah means the Lord is salvation. Do you know what the meaning of Jesus is? The Lord saves. See how similar those two are? The Lord is salvation. The Lord saves. Isaiah, Joshua, Jesus, they mean the same thing. The Lord is salvation. So in a big way, the life and ministry of the prophet Isaiah was a foreshadowing of the life and ministry of Jesus, who saves, the Savior, the one who is the agent of your salvation. Christ, the one who saves. He's not only the agent of salvation, but also the agent of creation. Martha Stern writes that God has the capacity to create new heavens and a new earth. She shares that God has the capacity to create. Well, we know that, don't we? However, Isaiah reminds us that God creates on an unimaginable scale, new heavens and new earth. He paints these beautiful colors with a broad brushstroke, making a masterpiece of new creation, taking the old and replacing it with the new, taking the worn down and making it brand spanking new so that it shines for his glory. In other words, there is nothing, absolutely nothing in all of creation, in anything we can imagine beyond creation, that is beyond God's capacity to change. For people mired in regret or loss or sin, and for people ground down by oppression and the pain of living in bondage, what a hope-filled message. Nothing is final. Everything's up for grabs in the mystery of the creative capacity of our great God. In our passage today, we read that our faithful covenant God promises to create new heavens and a new earth. How will he accomplish that? I believe that it will be done in Christ, for Christ, and through Christ. Christ himself is the agent of new creation. Earlier, I spoke of little Miriam, who was kept alive for 3 days so that her internal organs could bring renewed life to others. Likewise with Christ. He was in the grave for 3 days so that he could be raised to life, and so his life could bring renewed life to others. Christ is the forerunner, for his resurrection is the foretaste of our future resurrection. Now, there's an interesting part of this passage. I think the whole thing is interesting, from the first verse to the last, from verse 17 to verse 25. But verse 22 speaks of a tree. Who here loves the trees? I know Dan and Paul do because of all the leaves that they drop down. But, you know, you think about a tree, and some trees live for a short time, but other trees live for a long time. Take California, for example. Who's ever witnessed the sequoias or the redwoods of California? They're incredible. They're so huge, but they're also so old. Did you know that some of those redwoods live to be 2,000 or 3,000 years old? For as in the days of a tree, so will the days of my people be. What Isaiah is saying there is just as those old redwoods live for thousands of years, so there will be a day when people will live a long, long, everlasting long time. In Central California, Dr. Huntington of Yale University made a study of the rings of the stumps of some of the big trees in Converse Basin, where they had harvested and lumbered some of the big trees. In the pamphlet, The Secret of the Big Trees, he gives these facts concerning the age of the Sierra Redwood. How old the oldest trees are is not yet certain, but I have counted the rings of 79 that were over 2,000 years of age. And there were 4 that were over the age of 3,000 years, the oldest being 3,150. Can you imagine counting all those rings? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 3,150 rings. That's an old tree. But it pales in comparison to the days of new creation when Jesus returns. For eternity, 1,000 years is like a drop in the ocean of everlasting life. Amen? Amen. You know, Christ is not only the agent of our salvation, but also the agent of creation and the agent of transformation. By the Holy Spirit, Christ transforms our death to life, our discouragement to encouragement, our despair into hope, and our sorrow is transformed to joy. You know, we get caught up in the physical realities of the new creation, the earth, the plants, the creatures, But what about the spiritual realities? The Spirit of Christ is planting new creation within us and among us. He does so by restoring our joy. For it's not just the length of our years that matters, but the quality of our years that really counts. Even more important than quantity, it's all about quality of our life in Jesus Christ. Isaiah 65 records the words of the Lord. For God speaks this word of encouragement. Be glad. Rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and crying will be heard no more. God in Christ creates joy. He causes our hearts to overflow with great rejoicing. We know that we're called to rejoicing, but sometimes it's challenging for us to have hope as we wait for deliverance. It's just way too easy to look down at our difficulties. And it's not quite as easy to look up heavenward with hope. So we return to Isaiah the prophet. His prophecy of a new heaven and a new earth was fulfilled in the first coming of Christ. However, the prophecy still awaits its final completion on the day of Christ's return. Think of it this way. The first coming of Christ, the birth in a manger, the crucifixion on a cross, the empty grave, was the sun rising. It was the dawning of a new day. Picture it that way, like the sun rising, and you're just walking towards the sunlight, walking east, gazing at the horizon as the sun is coming up into the sky. But in hopeful expectation, we still await the full light of God's grace to shine brightly on this sad world. In that day, the dazzling noontime light of the world will shine God's glory to repair a broken world. We dream of a better day, but that will be the best day. For it's God's timing that we will place our hope and trust. It's what Isaiah explains as the age of no more, the time of never again, and the day of no longer. No more. The sound of weeping and crying will be heard no more. Never again. Never again will there be an infant who lives just a few days. No longer. No longer will they build houses only to have others inhabit them, or plant and be forced to see others eat the fruit. No more is what I live for. I dream about no mores. Do you? No more injustice. No more sickness. No more warfare. No more poverty. No more corruption. No more division. No more parents compelled to bury their own kids. We dream of a day when death will be defeated. We hope for a day when death dies. A day when cemeteries no longer exist and funerals are no longer necessary. However, we don't just wait sitting on our hands. We don't just sit back and do absolutely nothing. God encourages us to lean forward into our bright future. The Spirit inspires us to live into new creation. The Spirit motivates us to do life-giving acts of service for the benefit of a dying world. Martha Stern asked the question, what would human community look like with nobody weeping? People would not die before they had lived out a lifetime. How would such a community spend its resources? And how would the common good be embraced when all people had the opportunity to live in the fullness of time? Healthcare, education, safe neighborhoods, plenty of good water, environmental stewardship. What if all those human goods are not just the pipe dreams of social idealists, but the will and the future of God. Our mission is simply to point toward the sure future that God has already announced. And she continues to explain that it affects finances, for economic justice is never far from Isaiah's vision. In a human community created for God's joy, labor is not done for the rich and the few. God rejoiced in and blesses lives of justice with prosperity. Now, earlier I mentioned Haiti, and it's not just this abstract quantity for me, because my daughter, Annalise, has actually been to Haiti. And when I think about Haiti, I dream of the day when Haitians can enjoy economic prosperity, healthcare systems, quality of life, and longevity of years, even as we do here in these United States. When will justice and peace be extended to all the nations and all the peoples? Overall, I absolutely love how this passage ends, especially the last three verses. Verse 23, they will be a people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them. Oh, to receive the blessing of the Lord. Verse 24, picture this. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. Oh, to have such intimate communion with God. He's already actively answering our prayers before we even fold our hands to pray. Amazing. Christopher Seitz writes, in the age described by the prophet Isaiah, all that is confused and damaged in the divine human exchange is gone. It has to do with the new covenant. This aspect of human divine communication, disrupted by the corrupt human will and heart, will be addressed by God, and the consequence will be a new creation in which hearing and attending are indistinguishable. Oh, to have that depth of intimacy in the presence of our Creator and Savior. Finally, I absolutely love verse 25 because it points to creation restored, a beautiful artistic picture of predator and prey at peace. Picture this vision of harmony. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like an ox, and dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountains, says the Lord. It's a picture of what the Bible calls shalom, or God's peace. The Lord of all promises announces a better day. And we ask the question, when will it all come true? Honestly, we don't know. And we discover that it's extremely difficult for us to wait. Nevertheless, we hope for the day of Christ's return. On that day, all of creation will be renewed and restored to its former glory. In the meantime, we work and pray as the renewed people of God. For people of God, we know this by faith. The Spirit of the risen Christ is active within us and among us. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and all God's people say, let's pray. Almighty God, grant that the words we have heard this day may through your grace be so grafted within our hearts that they may bring forth in us the fruit of the Spirit to the honor and praise of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's rise to profess our